You're listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast, brought to you by Ministry Grid. Ministry Grid is an online church leadership and volunteer training platform offering a library of thousands of videos and a suite of powerful admin tools to provide practical training for every area of ministry in your church. Find out more and get a free 30-day trial at ministrygrid.com/howitworks.
Welcome to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. This is Todd Adkins, and I'm your host. I do not have Barnabas Piper today. I'm flying solo. So this is the first time that that's happened. It could be a train wreck, but I don't think it's going to be, because our guest is John Maxwell. And I cannot tell you how giddy and excited I am just to have him on 5 Leadership Questions, simply because he has meant so much to me in my life. If I go back, I don't know, 18 years or so, I had my VHS tapes, 21 Laws. I used every ounce of my budget as a student pastor to get those things and listen to them again and again and again. And I actually ended up at the first Catalyst, which you were also, I know, a part of, John. And so it's just been, it's just an honor to talk to you. It's an honor to be with you today. And I can't wait to see what unfolds.
Thanks, Todd. My, great to be with you, too. And thanks for sharing with me. One of the great privileges, I guess, of getting older is you just keep planting seeds, and you find that you have, one or two generations of people that are just really benefiting from it. So thanks for sharing that with me. It really blessed me. I'm very blessed by what you said. Thank you.
Well, I'm sure there'll be a few more things that kind of come out as we go along. But I wanted to take an opportunity first, if you would, just tell us a little bit about your background. I mean, obviously, you've written dozens and dozens of books, and those have sold millions and millions of copies. Everyone knows 21 Laws, Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. I've taken almost 200 people through that book personally, that and Oswald Sanders. Those books mesh up very well, by the way, if you're taking a group of people through. For those people that are listening, they mesh up very well if you're doing weekly meetings. But anyway, tell us a little bit about your book that's coming out now, and what its purpose is, and what target are you trying to hit with it?
Todd, when you spoke of Oswald Sanders a moment ago, are you referring to his book, Spiritual Leadership?
Yes.
You know, Todd, that book really changed my life. I was a young pastor in a non-growing denomination, and I had a lot of leadership within me, and I was really, after my first year of pastoring, I was feeling a little bit out of place, and I thought, wow, I wasn't called to pastor. This is maybe not my strength, because I had so much leadership in me. And yet the passiveness of my organization really kind of dumbed down leadership, and that's kind of almost a positive way to say it. And I read Spiritual Leadership by Oswald Sanders at the end of my first year pastoring, and it just lit me. I saw biblically now that I could, that leadership was a good thing and it wasn't a bad thing. And you talk about getting permission and opening the gate for me. That book, I would put probably as the number one influencer in my area of leadership that I've ever read. And it was my privilege when I was pastoring in San Diego at Skyline to have him come out and spend a morning with my leaders. And I talked about what his book had meant to me, and he talked to him about spiritual leadership. And then I showed him my book and how I had marked it. In the back, I'd written things that God had impressed me to write. And he and I had a very intimate 15-minute conversation about what it means to write a book and have it influence people and have it really change a person's life, which his book changed mine. And I just was, when you said that, I thought, oh my goodness, Spiritual Leadership was an impacting book of mine. And I've tried, Todd, to write books that can really make a difference in people's lives, but I grew up in a beautiful home. My father is still alive. He's 93, he'll be 94 in November, and literally has been in the ministry now for like 73 years.
Wow.
And he's a chaplain in assisted care and makes 50 visits a week. And I grew up in this beautiful home where I saw leadership and ministry exhibited. So I was incredibly blessed, and I think that really allowed me to get a jump on what a lot of other people would do, because I just had a better foundation to get started quickly. And felt called to preach at a very, very young age. Really surrendered to do that at the age of 17. Started pastoring. Loved the three churches I pastored. Learned a lot. Grew a lot. It was while I pastored that I really developed my leadership skills. And it was while I pastored that I learned how to train and equip people. That's where I pastored. That I really began to understand lay ministry and empower people. And it became foundational for everything that I've done. And I started writing books to help pastors really learn how to lead, because I never had a leadership course in college or seminary. And then those books started crossing over, Todd, into the business community. And I can still remember the day in Nashville, Tennessee, when I was with Thomas Nelson, at that time my publisher. It was in 1995. And they looked at me and they said, John, your books are being bought by business people. And they're loving your leadership principles. And I felt called right then to cross over. And that was tough for me, because this was a new world. I was on a major learning curve, because I was not a business person. I couldn't use scripture anymore. I couldn't use my Bible stories anymore. So I'm swimming hard and going uphill for about 3 years, listening, learning from everybody I could learn. But I knew one thing. I knew that the leadership principles were all biblically based. And life-changing day for me was when I was in Kiawah Island with the largest lumber broker people in the world. And I taught leadership all day, and they asked at the end of the day, where did you learn all your leadership? And I looked at him, I said, Todd, I said, you don't want to know. And and in the process of telling them they didn't want to know, they kept saying, well, we want to know. And so I said, I'm going to tell you, but when I tell you, you're not going to be very happy. And so I told them, I said, everything I taught you today is based on things I learned out of the Bible. And they groaned. They literally groaned. And I said, I told you we weren't going to be happy. And then I said, your cocktail hour is at 6 o'clock. I'll be down there. And I'll just stand in the corner. If you have ever had any questions about God, just come and see me. And Todd, literally, a line started at 6 o'clock, and I never got through the line of people who had questions about it. And I walked out that evening. I could tell you it was the greatest ministry feeling of my life. I said, I am called to take good principles to people that are secular and use that as a way of evangelism. And that's what I've been doing. In fact, I just left a large venue here in Baltimore, Maryland, and just finished talking to about, I don't know, about 3,000 business people. And again, teach them biblical principles. Yep. And I love what I do, and I do what I love.
You know, I think that's important to pull out is, you know, really all truth is God's truth. And I think that's something that's lost on a lot of people. They think that leadership development is kind of a, I don't know, a bad word in the church, but we would say, you know, leadership development is simply advanced discipleship. It's moving people from character to competency. And so, you know, we're doing the best we can to continue to bring that to light and sanctify that and remind people that all truth is God's truth. So whether it's handling conflict or, you know, whatever the topic may be, we can speak very well to both inside the church and outside the church, and the great thing for us is we have a higher authority. So one of the things I did want to do is move into your book. I know it's on intentional living, and so you know what you just talked about. I think what's interesting about this book is, you know, most younger guys, may or may not, a lot of younger guys haven't been exposed to you. They just don't realize it. All their leaders have been quoting you, but they don't know that. And so one of the things I think is great about intentional living, the book that's coming out, is it's really about you don't have to be a certain age or have lots of money or have a platform to make a difference. Now, obviously, you have a platform and that's great. But going back all those years to when you were first getting started, and even the story that you just gave in that room, you had somewhat of a platform then, but it was what you did in that moment that really mattered. It was living intentionally. So can you tell me a little bit more about what that book is about?
I would be delighted to. It's about significance, Todd. And what you said, it was so wonderful. Thank you. significance is misunderstood. People think that you have to, again, be a certain age, have a certain amount of money, a certain position to be significant, have a platform. And you don't have to be. Significance is all about intentionally adding value to others. And so the book is called Intentional Living because the whole thesis is that everyone can be significant now, but they have to be intentional. In other words, I have to realize that I have something to offer you, Todd, and that I can add value to you, and I have to be intentional in doing it. And so the book is really kind of about my life and how I went through four phases of my life of getting to significance. And it began with a desire that I bet every one of the listeners you have would have that desire. And that is, I wanted to make a difference. I really did. I wanted to make a difference. My father was in the ministry, and I watched him make a difference with people. And one day I was walking across a campus with my dad, and we walked probably 100 yards. It took us 30 minutes because people stopped him, inquired about him. He added value to them. He believed in them. He loved on them, ministered to them. And I can remember halfway on that walk as a fourth grade kid looking at my father, and I said to myself, my dad helps people. He helps people. And I want to do that too. I want to help people. And significance begins with I want to make a difference. You know, a person that wants to make a difference, they're always going to have high morale. They're always going to feel good about what they're doing because they're doing good. And so it's a book on how to do it intentionally. And the whole thesis basically is that most people live their life unintentionally. They accept their life. They don't lead their life. So it's a book on how do I lead my life, but how do I lead my life in such a way that I can truly be significant and add value to people. I've written a lot of books, but I can tell you this book has the greatest potential for impact any that I've ever written, because it's not a leadership book. It's a book on significance. It's a book basically that says no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter who you are, if you become intentional, you can literally today begin to live a life of significance.
Well, I do want to get into our first question for you. And that's, I know that you are a lifelong learner, and you would consider learning and leading to dovetail together. You can't do one without the other. But who are you learning from right now?
You know, Todd, my answer, when I saw that question, I kind of smiled because my answer is very simple, but I think it's probably surprising. I'm learning from everyone. Everyone's my teacher. I think that learning, you know, I think we get idealistic about learning. We say, well, if I could just meet that person, if I could just have that experience, then I could really grow and I could develop. And I think learning begins with teachability, the wanting and the willingness to learn. And I learned from you. I've already learned today as you've been interviewing me, I've already learned that J. Oswald Sanders had a great impact on you. And if you and I were in a private conversation and weren't doing this, I would begin to ask you why that book impacted you and what principles that you learned from it. I wrote a book a couple years ago called Good Leaders Ask Great Questions. Mm-hmm. And what the reason I ask questions is because I do believe that I can learn from everyone. I believe I can learn from every experience. So what that does is that starts my day with a real teachable spirit and a very much sense of an anticipation. And anticipation is this: whoever I meet, wherever I am, whatever I'm doing is going to be something that I can learn from. And so I'm not waiting for the big moment. I think that one of the great mistakes we make is we wait for the big moment. I think it's like significance. We wait till I get a certain age, certain amount of money, got a platform, got a position, got some influence, I'll be significant. I think the great mistake we make in life is we lose our life waiting for the big moment. And well, when I'm 30, I'll be able to be, you know, they'll respect me more as a leader because, yep, I've got a little age, and boy, but by the time I'm 40, I'll have some experience. And we miss life. We miss life because we're waiting for life in such a way that's not realistic. And so what I'm saying, very simple, is this. Obviously, there are some books I read and there's some people I go to turn and learn a lot from. But I would like all of our listeners to realize today that I can tell you right now, this is a fact. Every person I meet has something to teach me. And it's my job to find out what it is that they're going to be able to teach me. And I do that by questions, and I do that by intentionality. So I have found that every day is a learning experience for me, because I have a teachability every day and a spirit to learn every day.
What would you say the breakdown needs to be for leaders between asking and telling?
When I was young, I was 99% telling. I was 1% asking. And the only reason I was asking the 1% is because I didn't have anything else to tell. I to be honest with you today, I would say it's, for me, 80-20. I ask probably 4 questions for every kind of direction I give with people. Because to lead people, Todd, you have to find them first. It's an obvious assumption, but it's one that I've started teaching. And that is to, you know, if I'm going to lead you, I got to find you. I just don't lead you. I just don't look at you and say, okay, Todd, follow me. I got to find you. And how do I find you? I find you by asking questions. And the moment that I have truly found you, now I understand you. And the moment I truly understand you, now I can lead you. So today I find I ask a lot more questions than I used to, because it's the best way to lead people.
You know, one of the things I've been processing a lot lately, and I think it was either you or Andy, that had the 3 levels of shared ministry: dump, delegate, and develop.
Yes, that's
right. Okay, so Noel Tiki, I don't know how to say his name, at Leadership Engine. Yeah. If you look at some of the research that he did, you begin to see, from the business perspective, there's a very interesting kind of breakdown of leadership styles. And I think there's a direct correlation between dump, delegate, and develop, and those. So it's basically, it goes from command to tell. So that's dump. It goes from sell to teach. And I think that's more of a delegation. And then they don't add these, but I add these, develop, which would be coaching. And then at last, mentoring. And you're really moving from something that is more professional or task oriented to relational. You're really moving from an investment of time, an investment of commitment, but you're also moving to a massive return on results as well. So I don't know why I add that in there. I just do, because of kind of what you just said.
Because you wanted to teach me something. You just taught me. You know, I did the 3 D's, but you just took them to a whole new level. And again, isn't it true? Everything we do in life, there is some way to improve it. Everything we learn in life, there's some way to learn more from it. Everything we say in life, there's something more that we can say and teach. And the more issue that I'm bringing in there, Todd, is a direct result of wanting to learn and being teachable. And that's why I think a lot of leaders stop in their growth. They stop in their growth because they get to a place where they're comfortable with where they are, and they lose their curiosity, and they lose their desire to keep learning and asking questions.
I think curiosity is massive. That can't be overstated. And even the posture, putting yourself in a learning posture of, you know, people ask me I tweet a lot. So they're like, man, how do you tweet this much stuff on leadership? I'm like, well, first, most of what I tweet, I'm actually holding myself accountable, because I'm like, what did I do poorly in this situation? And you know, what is a maxim? What is the one thing I'm going to take away from, you know, this morning or this meeting or this interaction? I think that learning posture is absolutely massive.
I do too. And when you said about one quick thought on curiosity, I'm 68. And one of the things I've noticed about older people is they quit asking questions. And they quit asking questions, Todd, because they lose their curiosity. And I think when you lose your curiosity, you basically have started to give up on life.
You've lost your care.
That's exactly right. And so I'm intentionally at my age, asking more questions, caring more, and trying to be more curious.
Well, what is the, I'm going to move on to our second question, or we're never going to get through this. What I want to do is ask you this. What's the main point of emphasis for your leadership, your leadership team right now? It could be you personally, it could be your organization. What's your main point of emphasis?
Well, you know, interesting. We were just talking about asking questions. And, you know, for myself personally, I have to, again, continue to be the example. There never is a day when you can say, I don't have to be the example. And even with my age, I still have to lead with passion. I still had to lead with intentionality. I have to still lead with a great sense of mission. And so for me, I just keep saying to myself, John, you never get to a place where you're so good or so experienced or so old that you can some way say, you know, I want to be the leader, but I'd like to let someone else be the example. You just can't separate the two. So I think personally, I'm saying to, you know, to Mark Cole, who's the CEO of my five companies, you got to model this. You have to flesh it out. It has to be in you. It can't be, if it's not in you, it can't be in the presidents of the companies. If it can't be in them, it can't be in the people. You know, again, we teach what we know, but we reproduce what we are. And I have got to be it before I can transport it. And how many times we've seen leaders who tried to transport something that they didn't really know or didn't really live or didn't really learn.
Yeah.
It comes across false that way, Todd.
One of my favorite quotes of yours is, I think it's a leader's ability, or great leader's courage to fulfill his vision comes from passion, not from position.
That's exactly right.
I will go ahead and ask question number three. So what obstacles then are you currently facing in leadership, again, either in your organization or personally?
Well, at my age, my greatest obstacle is to tell people what I've done. I mean, after you've achieved something, you either use that achievement to build and keep growing, or you use that achievement to talk about. So my greatest obstacle is not to be like an old man. And an old man talks about what they've accomplished, what they've done, tells old war stories. And although there's something nice about telling stories of what I've accomplished, I have to understand that every bit of my leadership today, as far as helping my teams, is going to be based on what I'm doing now. See, I think sometimes we get the honor and respect confused. I think honor is given to a person for what they've done. But I think respect is given to a person for what they're doing. And I've said, I don't want to at 68 be honored. I want to at 68 be respected. I want to be still on the cutting edge. I still want to be growing. And so obstacles and challenges for me, Todd, I mean, technology is a huge challenge for me. I mean, it's a world that I don't know. It's a world I didn't grow up in. And yet I've got to communicate on that level. And so, I mean, we've worked very hard to bring social media people around us and people that are faster, smarter, better than I am, that are doing things that I'll never understand, but I trust them to help me so to get out there. So I think part of a leadership challenge, a person my age who's accomplished so much, is to be very vulnerable and look at my team and say, I have to have your help. I cannot do this. I'm not capable of doing it now. I'm not qualified to do it now. I don't have enough experience or understanding. I have to have you. And so really, my greatest challenge is my greatest joy. My greatest challenge is I got to have younger people around me that really are on the edge and be very vulnerable to them and say, I have to have your help. I can't do this. But my greatest joy is watching them help and watching them get better because they're around me, and I'm getting better because I'm around them. And I think that when I look at a team, when people say, well, how's my team? Is that a good team? It's a very simple question. Are you getting better because of the players you're playing with? And are the players you're playing with getting better because they're playing with you? And if the answer is yes, then teamwork's working. And if the answer is no, teamwork's not working. There's no working teamwork at all. You got a group of guys with the same name and the same jersey, but you don't have a team that's going to accomplish much. And so today I'm very blessed because, Todd, I am having my best days, and I'm kind of amazed at that. And not only am I having my best days, but the greatest opportunities are around me and before me. And so I'm looking at my team and I'm saying, I've got to stretch. I've got to grow. We all got to grow. We can't rest. And it's because of them. And so I think there came a time about 1995, Todd, I pastored, I built churches, I understood it. And there came a time where I realized that I got more fulfillment out of helping other people be successful than I got out of my own personal success. Now, I don't think you can get to that stage unless you've had personal success. I mean, I think you've got to accomplish something yourself before you ever get there. But once you accomplish something yourself, I began to look and say, but what would happen now if I didn't live for myself, but I began to pour my life into others and began to say, I'm going to extend my life. I mean, to be honest with you, if I do it right, I never die. I mean, I die, but I don't die because you got a legacy going. And you only get a legacy going when you truly want to be significant. It only can be significant when you intentionally add value to people and especially add value to the next generation. And one more quick thing, I don't want to get old. I'm getting older, but I want to be an old person. And when I hear old people, they talk about, well, you know, nobody did it like us. And our generation was the generation. And yeah, I think everything else is kind of going downhill now that we're kind of slipping away. And I don't believe that at all. I just absolutely believe that the greatest days are today. And I believe that the greatest things that are going to be accomplished are going to be accomplished tomorrow. And all I want to do is, I don't have to be the person that accomplishes them. I just want to let people stand on my shoulder. And I want to pave the way. I want to kind of be the John the Baptist for that generation who really wants to make a difference and just kind of be, I kind of want to be in the stands, be the head cheerleader and take great pride in the fact that they're doing things much better than I was ever able to do.
Well, I think I'll move into our fourth question now. And that's, what does leadership in your home look like?
Well, first of all, you know, it's just Margaret and me now. So, hey, leadership used to be a lot tougher when we had kids. You know what I'm saying? Leadership got easy when the kids left. Well, one of the mistakes I made as a parent, Todd, is I kind of thought in the beginning that once your parent, you know, kids went away to college, kind of like your parenting was done. You know, okay, I raised my kids, now go. Of course, I now know parenting never stops, and the challenges of parenting get greater as your kids get older because the decisions they make have much more either positive or negative possibilities to them. But, you know, leadership in home has always been this way. We lead according to our giftedness. In areas of the home, many of the things Margaret led and continues to lead because she's better than I am. And we made an early decision in our marriage, and that is whoever is the most gifted and the most experienced and the best in this area, they get to be the leader of this area.
Yep.
And so it goes back and forth, and it's very comfortable. And the same way with our children. As our children began to get to be teenagers, we made sure that we began to let them lead and let them make some decisions in the family that the rest of us followed. And I again say that no one has the right to lead unless they've proven they are good at following. And I think you only know you're good at following when you let other people lead. And so the best way, I think, to have a home that really works in leadership is that everybody leads in some areas and everybody follows in some areas. And when you follow, you really greatly appreciate the person who's leading. And when you're leading, you greatly value the person that's following. You know, we basically, Margaret and I, when we raised our children, we said, let's unconditionally love them. Let's help them with their self-image. Let's really do our best to help them to live out a good, honest, authentic faith in God. Let's teach them responsibility so that they aren't victims all of their life. And let's just really help them to have a great attitude. And those were the five things, Todd, that as parents, we just said, this is what we're going to teach. This is where we're going to live. And we basically said, these are the only battles we're going to fight with our children. And the rest of the stuff is, we just let it roll. And we're not going to try to improve them in every area, but these are the five most important. So we stuck by our guns there. And I think it really paid off. We're really proud of our kids. We got great kids. And great grandchildren.
Oh, that's great advice. How many grandchildren do you have?
Five. I want more, but that's it. That's it. I want more, but that's the problem. Only having two kids, they're only going to produce so much for you. I mean, I promised to sponsor them. I promised to underwrite them for life. But I think we're about done. But you know, grandchildren are God's gift to you for not killing your children. So so you got to let your children live so you can have grandchildren because there's nothing. Like
wow. All right. Well, this is our last question. I think I may ask you one or two more just because I've got you. But this is the last official question. That is, what would you tell your 20-year-old self about preparing to lead?
I love that question. I think it was my favorite of the five. And I think the reason I love that question so much is that that I wish that when I was 20, that I could have heard what I'm about to share, because it would have sure helped me a lot in the beginning. If I could sit down and talk to my 20-year-old self and get going again, I would say I would do two things. I would take the advice that my father gave me at 22 that helped me tremendously as a pastor. He shared with me, he said, John, intentionally every day, if you want to have a great ministry, intentionally every day, value people, believe in people, and unconditionally love people. And that was phenomenal advice for me. I did all of my ministry leadership grid through those three things intentionally. Jesus valued people incredibly. Go to the Gospels. The one sure takeaway I get out of the Gospels is that Jesus valued people. And what's even more important is they knew that he valued them. That's why they flocked him. I mean, they came running to him because they knew that every time they got in his presence, they would be valued. And to the Christian community, I just say very quickly, I think we really lack in this area. I think we lack unconditional love. I think we lack valuing people. I think we value people who are like us, or who are getting like us, or who are following our rules. I love everybody and I value everybody. And I mean, I love everybody, I value everybody. And when people begin to talk, when I hear Christians talk about, I don't, those people are, they're wrong, or they're doing wrong, or they're living wrong. And I just ask them sometimes, I said, do you think Jesus loves those people? Oh, of course they'll look at you and they'll kind of almost be childish. You'll say, well, yeah, of course he loves people. Then the game's over. Then I'm going to love them too. I'm going to love them just like he loves them. We'll love them unconditionally. I think that's essential. So my father at 22 gave me that advice, and that really kind of developed my, what I would call, leadership ministry grid. The only other thing, the thing that I would add that he also gave me that day, but as I've watched, I'm now passionate about it, is I would tell I'd tell my 20-year-old self that I need to intentionally live. I need to be very intentional in what I do with my life. The life goes very fast. And that I can either be a person of good intentions and never achieve what I need to achieve, or I can be a person that crosses that dividing line between words and actions. And I want to be a person of good actions. No one has ever built a great ministry out of good intentions. They've built great ministries out of good actions. They never have built a great work and ministry on something that they would hope to do tomorrow. But they've built great ministries on things that they did today. And it's because of that passion I have, Todd, that I wrote a book that does come out now. It's coming out now in October. And that's on intentional living. And intentional living basically says that if I become intentional in my actions, I today can do things of great significance to people. And to somebody at a young age, I what did Paul tell Timothy? Don't let anybody despise your youth. I would say that when you're young, there's a real challenge in leading people because you lack experience. But there is no challenge in being intentional in adding value to people. And if you'll be intentional and add value to people at 20 years of age, you'll be making a difference and being significant. And at 25 and 30, you'll be leading massive groups of people. And it's all because, not because maybe you were such a great leader in the beginning, but because you intentionally added value to people, which will allow you to influence them, which will allow you then to get the reins of leadership in your hands. So I'm really passionate about intentional living. Of course, it's the book that's coming out right now.
Yeah.
It's a roadmap. It's a roadmap. If a person wants to have a significant life, that book will help them not someday become significant. That book will help them today become significant.
Well, I think one of the greatest things about the generation that's coming through right now is they have seen examples of young people that have made massive amounts of difference, that didn't necessarily have lots of money, a platform, those things to make a difference. So I think this book comes along really well at a great time for them to really ingest that and be intentional about it. It's one thing, to have dreams and aspirations, but eventually you have to you have to do something. You have to have a plan. You have to execute that plan.
Yeah, and you do it. And because they have to execute the plan, we're going to challenge people to do what we call a 7-day experiment. And the 7-day experiment is basically, I just give them about a 2-minute video every day of how to intentionally live that day. And we just want to get them involved in intentional living. And we want them to do that. So it's free. I mean, they don't have to buy anything. And if they just go to 7dayexperiment.com.
Well, I certainly have enjoyed our time together. And it's again an honor to get to talk to you. I'm sure I would love to talk to you again sometime. I know that we will be, of course, doing more and more leadership development with Lifeway, and would love to talk to you about that as well at some point. But the great news is, I think with your father as a great example, 93 years old, still continuing to lead and invest and have an intentional, significant life in other people. I can't wait to see your next 30 years. What really blesses me is you starting out the program by basically saying, "Hey, I'm in my best years. This is the best is yet to come."
And then I look at my dad, who's 93. And I said, "Oh my gosh, you know, God, just give me health." But I want to just close with you and say, sure, Todd, I'll be glad some other time to come on. Anytime we can add value to people that you're serving is a good thing. And again, we're intentional in even adding value to people by going with and through people like you and like your program to reach more people. But I would just like to close by saying that I think all of us really search in our life to make a difference. I really believe we do. And what I'm excited about is I think I'm helping people now understand that they can, if they live intentionally, they can right now start to make that difference. And the moment that happens, you know, high morale is a result of making a difference, just as low morale is the result of not making a difference. I think the key to significance is not being smarter than anyone else or having opportunities others don't have. I think it starts within me when I say I'm going to intentionally every day seek out people and add value to them.
Well, that's certainly a good word. Well, thank you very much for being on with us.
Great to be with you, Todd. Blessings, friend.
Thank you for listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. To learn more about how you can train leaders in your church, visit ministrygrid.com/howitworks and watch a short demo video. For participating, you will get a free 30-day trial for your entire church. Again, that's ministrygrid.com/howitworks.